Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for your gift of life. Guide us to recognize and appreciate this gift of life. In Jesus' name, amen. I listen to all sorts of people. I try to discern the realistic concerns that there are in front of us, and yet to not get fearful of the things that just might be. I want to be mindful of our biblical admonishment of fear not. And as we go through life, we learn to find the balance and we ask, what is a reasonable concern? And what is a fearful concern? We each have different influences on life, influences which shape us. Some of them are amazing and some of them are, well, we want to avoid. So I've had a few influences on my life, and in fourth grade, I was playing in the schoolyard and a ball went over the fence. I ran out of that schoolyard to get the ball, and what happened was I got in a lot of trouble for leaving the schoolyard. I had to learn to consider rules versus responsibility. Life teaches us. And then in my 20s, while I was on a family vacation in my Suburban, it stopped working, but I had the tools and the spare parts to fix the fuel pump on the side of Interstate 5. That was another lesson of preparedness, and it was reinforced that day. Traveling in South America, once I ate food. Sometimes I would eat the food I brought with me. On this one occasion, I did. The hotel packed a lunch for the people in my party, but I ate the food I brought with me. And the others there, they had a bout of diarrhea and vomiting because, well, they ate food that wasn't prepared just right. So there was another lesson of preparedness, having the food that you wanted with you on that day. Another lesson is traveling on a missions trip in Asia. I was very concerned about having an intestinal illness, and so I would never drink anything with ice in it. But all the others in my small group, they did have the ice, and no one had an intestinal problem on the whole trip. Well, it's just very interesting. Was I being too cautious? No, I didn't think so. To me, it was simply reasonable to have those concerns, and I took precautions. Everyone has their own ideas of how to avoid troubles. Everyone has their own ideas of what preparedness is. We go through life and we see things differently. And that's good. That's fine. And we all bear the responsibility for our own decisions and our own actions. When we were young, you probably remember somebody asking you, if all your friends were jumping off the bridge, would you jump off the bridge too? No, you wouldn't, or would you? It's kind of one of those things. We tend to follow the crowd. We tend to do what other people are doing. But we learn responsibility and the consequences. This is what we do. Individual responsibility and individual consequences. It's quite a large lesson to learn these things. Decisions have consequences. I know I've often pondered that question, and you have too, because that's life. We go through life and we figure these things out, whether it's about some event, some situation, or even that big question of our salvation. You know, heaven or hell? That's the question. And what do we look at? Biblical ideas and biblical guidance. That helps us to understand our position in Christ. There's plenty of people who have different opinions. Some will point to Acts 16:31, and it says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved." And some people point to Romans 10:9, "And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Yeah. And what about John 3:3? Very truly I tell thee, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. See, these verses are a little bit different. It's just one of those things. Do you look at Matthew 7:21? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? And did we not do many other wonders in your name? And then I, Jesus, that is, will declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who participate in lawless iniquity. Now let's see. What does that mean? You who practice lawlessness or iniquity? What is that? Well, it seems to me that's the opposite of holiness. Well, wow. It can be an involved question to understand these things, but that's what we are called upon to do. We are called upon to study, to look, to understand. Timothy, 2 Timothy talks about this in 2:15. He talks about saying, showing thyself approved and rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of truth is God's word, the Bible. The word says study. And that can include listening to other people like a man of God. But let's remember that it is a personal study and it's a personal search. And it has personal consequences. Those are ultimately your responsibility. And it's the question of salvation. It's your relationship with Jesus Christ that is what I see the entire question is. What is the condition of your own heart? And who knows your own heart? God knows your own heart, and even we know our own heart. So I suppose it is as simple as we are, or as complex as we are. So the way I see it is we can make concepts in our mind and make things say what we want them to see. We can fool ourselves, but I surely don't think we are going to be fooling God as to what our heart condition is. I just don't think so. So you just want to investigate and examine that and see what your heart condition is towards Jesus Christ. And perhaps the next question is, well, how do we act on it? Because there's many people, many godly people with different views on this subject. So to me, the answer is search the Scripture and then faithfully live the Scripture. Seek understanding. You might have to have discussion and debate to do this, to get to understand, get to refine and define your own understanding. You have to do this carefully to read and understand the Scriptures as best you know how. There are religions that we might get involved with who emphasize just certain Scriptures, and you have to be careful with that. We have a whole book of Scripture right in front of us, the Bible. And we have to intelligently look at it and search it out. Search out what is the Scripture. Search out the truth of the matter. It's always important. And really, we do this just plain as we live. It's natural to do this. We can hear people have an argument about their position because people like to emphasize one part of an argument or another. One part of Scripture or another. It's just the way we are, because some things we think about and they apply to us in one way or another, and this is for us to discern. We get to figure it out. We get to understand and seek out what we do believe. And there's lots of influences on us as we go through this process. Sometimes it can be as simple as, are they nice people? Or are they good-looking people? Or are they rich? Do I want to pay more attention to them because they can help me get something I want? Or something we both want? Sometimes we are influenced by other factors. And it might be something like, do we both look at things the same way? Do we have friends or business acquaintances in common? Are they people who go to our same church? It's just a matter, it's really our own decision, and we have to discern these things. We have to figure out what our own position is. And the best way we can do that is to seek out the answers. You have to figure it out for yourself. Salvation is individual. Your whole church doesn't get saved. You do. You have to look at the whole, examine it for yourself and look at everything you can understand. Analyze it and figure it out. You know, that's a part of what I think about is figuring things out. And I think about the just-in-case situations. And one of those just-in-case situations, the most important one, is about our spiritual life and examining our just-in-case. What if we die without Jesus? Whew, we wouldn't want to do that. We want to be biblical and biblically secure in our relationship with Jesus. And how do we do that? Well, we look for ourselves and get our own understanding. That's how we get our security on that matter. In our physical world, we have other things that we look at, which are the same sorts of just in case. You know, there's spiritual food, but there's also physical food. And you know, that's what I talk to sometimes. I talk about having the basics for the just in case situations. You know, the basics like water. You can't do anything without water, so you better have that examined. And then there's some people who like really fancy foods, and that's great. Have those fancy foods. If you can afford it, that's great. Dehydrated foods, it's wonderful, and they help a whole lot if you want to add some variety to your food. But I just look at wheat, oil, sugar, and salt, because those are the basic foods. Oh, and for those wheat berries, don't you forget your manual wheat grinder. A manual wheat grinder. There's a few other things that are good too. Vitamins, seasonings, propane type of camp stove, and a cast iron pot with a lid. Those are the basics, and you can add to that all you want. Basics, they don't stop, but you have to do some examination of it to figure out what you want. And don't forget that if you want, you can write to me. I do give out my list of basics, which you can examine, and I hope they inspire you to think. That's what my list is for, is to inspire you to think. I think it's a good list, and you can follow it if you want, but I think everybody does better when they figure it out for themselves and get their own items that they are interested in. So make up your own list. Yeah, there's lots of lists around. So many corporations, so many government agencies have lists. Look them up, or like I said, get mine. Everybody has their own ideas, and they're all good to look at and examine. You will make a better list if you study theirs. So get ideas, get other lists, examine them, and then make your own. That will be the best list you can find, is your own list. So get ideas, organize, think, plan, and do. You know that's what I say. Think, plan, and do. It's always good. Last week I talked about a few things, like the instability around us. There is lots of instability, and we're getting so used to it, it seems to only increase over these recent years. And with the instability that goes on, we never know what will happen to trigger an event which would cause shortages. And that's something to be aware of. And so look at the things that you can do right now. Get those few things that you want to get, things that are easy to get right now. They're easily available. They're plentiful. You can get them now. But if we ever have an event happen, those things just go away ever so quickly. The store's empty. The supply's empty. Everything is unavailable, and you don't know for how long it lasts. You never know if you're going to get a helping hand or not, but even people with helping hands, they only have so much to go around. So look out for yourself. Get the things that you need. Get them while they are easily available, and they're relatively inexpensive, because if there gets to be a shortage, you know human nature. The costs increase, the availability decreases. So look at what you want. Look at what makes sense to you. These days, there are lots of things going on around us. Lots of things. There's events going on around us. And look, just a week ago, what happened? Iran shot down an Israeli jet on the Syrian border. Oh, yeah, there was more to it than that. There was a question of drones. Nothing ended up happening, but it could have. Something could have happened, and it could have been a major problem, major war. And what else has happened recently? We've had that stock market drop. You could say nothing happened, and in a way it didn't, but it could have. We have our federal deficit. It's just growing. It's growing. For the next 3 years, our President Trump has proposed increases to our federal deficit of approximately $1 trillion a year. Yeah, that's a lot. See, there's another situation where anything could happen. Nothing has happened, but it could. As a part of that, our U.S. dollar, well, that is becoming less desirable among the world economies, and there's things happening with all the monies of the world. Things are just happening. They're going on. Will anything happen? I don't mean it will. Maybe nothing will, but it might. So with the dollar, well, with all the monies of the world, there's a very funny thing going on. Interest rates are decreasing never before in history, in our entire history of currency or money, has it happened that interest was not paid. And right now in Europe, 1/3 of the bonds are government bonds are yielding a negative interest. That's just incredible. Canada is looking at negative interest. And in the United States, we here have also looked at negative interest. And what is a negative interest yield? It means, for instance, if you buy a $10,000 five-year bond, at the end of those 5 years, they pay you back, well, a couple of $100 less than you bought it for. That's just remarkable. Never happened in history before. You see, it seems like change is coming. And this has been a point that people have been aware of all throughout history. Bankers know it very well. Established interests know it also. Thomas Jefferson knew about it, and he warned us about that over 200 years ago. He had this warning. It was, if the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their currency, first by inflation and then by deflation, the banks and corporations that grow up all around them will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless on the continent that their fathers conquered and settled. So, you know we've had inflation for over 100 years. Inflation. Is this the time when deflation hits? Well, there's just a few people who study these matters, and they say, yes, it's coming right now. Deflation. So, it's just something that we should be paying attention to. This pattern has happened in history, not this extreme, but it has happened. And you look at the Great Depression of the 1929 and 1930s, that's what happened. Inflation and then deflation. The banks had a problem at that time. The banks stopped lending to each other because they were afraid that another bank would go bankrupt. And then they would not get the money back that they loaned out. So the banks were concerned, so they stopped lending to each other. And so that meant the consumer and business loans that were sent out, lent out, could not be gotten either. The banks stopped lending to each other and to people. So it's a possibility of what's going on right now. Right now, are we on the edge of deflation? We just might be. It's a known pattern. It's well known. And is it now? Yeah, reasonable people think that it just might suddenly come upon us right now. And surely, the Bible reminds us, and I do too, fear not. These things are not to scare you, but these things are to look at. What are the events? Are they likely? What should I say about it? Well, I do talk about these things from time to time, as you know. Last week's, the week before, I did talk about it on Christ Today. Look it up. Look up www.christtoday.org if you want more discussion about it. And that includes the fear not part. But there are things going on. Our national debt is part of it. Our national deficit is part of it, and so is the currency. All these things, they have an impact one or on the other. And the stock market and the general economy, all of it is making a difference. Yeah, so last week I spoke a little about volatility in our nation, and that is going on. There's lots of different areas where we are having volatility in our society, in our country, in our great country. All sorts of things are just changing. Our Federal Reserve notes, we call it paper money, but there's a question of that. Money, remember? Money is something that actually has value, because money is actually, it actually is something that all by itself has value. Gold and silver has value. Things like that have value. That would be actual money. Currency is when you have an assigned value to a piece of paper. That's what currency is, and that's what we use today. It's a study all by itself, and if you want more information, well, you know, last week I suggested a book and a video that you can listen to on YouTube. And there's another one if you're interested in this subject. There's a YouTube video called Century of Enslavement, The History of the Federal Reserve. It is by the Corbett Report. It was published in 2014, and it had 1.4 million views. So a lot of people liked it. That has a description of the process of money and currency and how we have created it. That is, the Federal Reserve has created it, Congress created the Federal Reserve, and just where it might be going. Yeah, we have to educate ourselves on the subject because, as you know, schools do not educate us, college does not educate us, and we have to get our own information. How? From our own study. That's how we get it. That's how we get to where we are. And it's very understandable that we don't know. We don't know until we look. And mostly we don't have a reason to look because everything goes along just the way it is and we accept it. That's like me. I was just like everyone else. Me too. I didn't know these things for most of my life until I looked. I had to have a reason to look, And I did. So I started looking at it, and it got questions upon questions and things that you just wondered about. So I started looking, and I find things out. I found them out, and so I get to tell people about them, like you right now today. There's things like, who ever realizes that our United States Constitution requires that only gold and silver or a semi-precious metal shall be our money? That's a requirement of the Constitution, Article 1, Section 10. Now, if you're looking it up, you will find that the original versions of the Constitution say it different from the newest versions. But the fact is, and you can see it in the writing, no matter what the old or new version of the United States Constitution you're looking at, it clearly says that only gold and silver shall be our money. Our founding fathers recognized that pieces of paper with numbers printed on them were just plain and simple unstable. Pieces of paper with money printed on them. Have you ever played Monopoly? It's the same concept. And that's the same concept of what we're getting into today. It's digital money. Digital currency, I should say. It's like what's on a bank statement. It's what's on the computer screen. Digital currency. So, you examine this question for yourself and see that money has an actual material value, a physical value, and recognize the possibilities, all the possibilities, because currency is currency. It's pieces of paper, and that's what cryptocurrency also is. Cryptocurrency is pieces of numbers on a computer. That's what it is. So what's going to happen to our nation? What's going to happen to our world? Oh, we're headed towards a cryptocurrency place. What will happen? Oh, I sure wonder what'll happen. It's going to be interesting. Maybe for our system of money to change, we will have to have a big event. A big event happens. That has happened in the past. We have had, in the last 200 years, they had panics. And that's what a panic was when people were concerned about their money, and especially paper money. And if it gets real bad, they call it a depression. Then that's what happened in 1929. Hey, that, again, I told you about just recently. But lots of people do see this concern as being potential right now. I'm surprised how many just plain old ordinary people like me do see this as a real possibility. Not just ordinary people, but well-known people also see this happening. And I named a few last week. And in the last months, I've also named people. They are scholars. They study the matters of our economy. And they also see that there is danger coming. The system cannot continue the way it is. I mentioned one, and I'll mention talk a little more today about Jacob Rothschild of France, of the French branch of the Rothschild families. He has a company called RIT Capital. He controls vast amounts of assets through that company. And his company published a report last year that said that they have been actively taking assets out of the United States because the United States is a risk due to the Federal Reserve's money printing programs, which will be coming to an end. Oh, I wonder how he knows that. Well, he's well connected. And another part of that report stated that, quote, this will end with a massive financial collapse, the likes of which would make the Great Depression look like the good old days. Ha! Unquote. Well, I laughed. He didn't laugh, but that's the quote. That's the quote. This will end with a massive financial collapse, the likes of which would make the Great Depression look like the good old days. Yeah. It just makes you think, doesn't it? He is a well-connected man. He knows lots of people. That family is everywhere. It is extensive. They have reliable political and financial information coming to them in all sorts of ways. And this is what he's talking about. I think it only makes sense for us to pay attention to people who are well connected like him. Now, what do we do about it? What are the rich doing about it? Well, the rich are moving their assets out of this country. I talked to you about that a few months ago. And they want to avoid the risks of financial collapses. So I think that everybody would do well to just consider, what are the possibilities of such a thing happening? Take a little bit of just-in-case precautions. Now remember, he mentioned the Great Depression, and I've talked about that before too. I can't tell you when it'll happen. I don't know that. I don't get the timing of it. No, I don't, but I see the indicators. And the indicators suggest that it is soon coming. How do we anticipate something that we've never experienced before? Have we ever experienced a collapse? Not unless we've come from other countries, and there have been a few. Other countries have had their currencies collapse, but we haven't. Not in the United States of America. So what do? We study and we examine the situations that other people have seen. We want to avoid an unpleasant experience. We want to avoid a catastrophe, something terrible. And so just we take a few steps of precautions. We do what we can. And to me, I think it starts with getting our supplies together. Well, how about paying off our loans? Those are really tied off, so we don't have debt. They're tied for first place in my thinking, supplies and getting your debt paid off, paid down. Oh, you know, I missed the most important one. It is walking with Jesus Christ. That's the most important one. So the idea is for you to get your thoughts in order and to make a plan. Take a few steps. Examine the situation. What would you do if? Look around you. What would you do if a collapse happened? You know, there's things going on all around us. Planes are getting shot down. The United States is having troop movements. Other countries are having troop movements. Is North Korea still a potential threat? It's possible. And how about those volcanoes and earthquakes? They're occurring in many parts of the world. They're actively occurring. What do we do? You think about it. You realize that our situation could change. We could have some surprises happen. And so we discuss, we examine what could happen with the world currency. Sure, with our country's currency or other countries' currencies. Yeah, all these things happen. And I know I've talked about David Wilkerson on the program before. He talked about the crash beginning in Germany, and look what is going on with Deutsche Bank. There have been so many people in the last months saying that it's going to crash. It's going to go bankrupt. It has to. So it's just another indicator. So what is going to happen with the world economy? How can we protect ourselves? What will happen? Well, we've got people thinking about just those things. There are people in the large institutions, the banking institutions, the international institutions like the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. They are, you know, that's the United Nations. They have ideas. They've had plans on the books for years for the just in case. what would happen and what do we do then? Well, we're limited, but we can still look at history and try to figure out what our future might hold based on history. And history gives us some examples of where things are headed. And even that we can look at and each individually determine where they might be headed and what it means for us personally, what it means for us as a society. All these things, we can look. We can look at where things are headed, and I know there's a lot of people who are concerned with what would you call it, monitoring. Yes, monitoring. Look at what the National Security Agency is doing under our government. There's the warehouses full of computers and stored information about what our conversations are, what our text messages are, all our computer interactions. And so many people say, don't worry, everything's fine. I'm not doing anything wrong. So many people, they say, they can listen all they want. I've got nothing to hide. And while that is true, yeah, I can say that too. I've got nothing to hide. I don't. But if you look at what has happened in a historical context, you look at certain countries. There's been lots of them. You can look at the communist, socialist country of China. You can look at the Leninist, Stalinist country of Russia. Or you can go back a little ways to fascist Italy or Nazi Germany or Franco's Spain. Or in recent years, there's lots of countries. There's Venezuela, there's Cuba, there's Zimbabwe, there's Burma or Cambodia, and more countries besides, lots more countries. The list is long, long, long list about countries that want to dominate their people. They don't want their people free. They want to have the assets of the people. They want to control the people. And here in this country, we have a history, and our history involves freedom, and it involves Christianity. A part of Christianity is Christian responsibility. All those things are a part of our Christian heritage. It's not so much in other countries, but there are a few other countries that have that too. So just consider, what are those original elements of freedom? Well, I think a part of it, if you want to look at this part, it's having a farm on which you can base your own needs upon, and that is called food. Food independence, look at it. We might be going in that direction again. There's a lot of food that can be grown on a little plot of soil, 20 feet by 30 feet in area, or you can double it, or you can triple it. Sure, it's work, but we work anyway. We all go to work. We all work one place or another, and it's amazing how many people have found gardening to be a pleasure. They enjoy gardening, and there's lots of books on the subject. How to grow vegetables, how to grow grains, all these things are good ideas. And I know I've talked about the possibility of a mini ice age coming this way. And if that's the case, well, we will be growing our vegetables and probably grains too. It's just a matter to consider. Yeah, lots of people. There's professional people. There's homemaking people. They've discovered that they like to garden. And they have seen that there's a method of gardening that some people are preferring this, and there are big advantages to it. It's called deep bed gardening. And that means in your garden area, whatever it is, 3 feet by 15 feet, for instance, that's a, what you do is you cultivate it, probably by hand, to a depth of about 2 feet. And this is done in one tier at a time. So there's several tiers. You go down 4, 6, 8 inches, and in each level you turn over the soil, and you cultivate it, which means making it into a fine, fine soil. You turn this over by hand, preferably by hand, they say, and to that depth, 20 to 24 inches, and it makes a nutritious place for the food to grow and to have nutrients come up from deeper soil. That's one thing you can consider. Of course, there's plenty of people who won't want to do this because it's a bit more work to do. So the point is you do something. How do you get started? What's the first item you do to get started is you start. It's real simple. You do something. And the second, I think it's important to not get overwhelmed with a project you have in front of you. You start small and you start simple. And you observe what's going on. You watch the watering. You see what it is to experiment, and you have some fun in your garden. It's fun if you do it. You get to watch things grow. That's fun. Well, it is for some people. And then you learn about how things grow. You learn about hand watering. Hand watering is good because you get to look more closely at the plants you're growing. You get to see what's going on with the plants and with the soil. Also, you cannot hurry the growing. It takes whatever time it takes. You can't rush it along. Everything takes its own time. And that's a part of the process of life. Look at life. It takes its time. You can't rush through it, and nor would you want to. You can't slow it down, nor would you want to. It just goes at its own pace. There's lots of things you can do for food and for studying growing and for studying food and food preservation. Now, that's a big one. You know I like to grind my own wheat, and I do that because wheat lasts forever, effectively. And it doesn't lose its nutrition as long as it's kept in the whole wheat form, and then you grind it yourself. And don't I always recommend the hand grinder? Yes. And I do that because we don't know. If we have a true problem, and I've talked about it, the coronal mass ejection from the sun, that would wipe out the electrical grid, and that would wipe out our cars. If not all, then at least a lot, most. So we have this situation to deal with. It could be from the sun, and it could be from a nuclear terrorist event or nuclear war. And don't forget how survivable nuclear war is. It is survivable. It's just we've had so much fear put into us to think that it's going to kill everyone. Oh, look out. Well, you should look out. That's reasonable. But all these things are survivable. There's been over 1,000 nuclear explosions that have taken place since we invented the nuclear bomb. Did that kill the Earth? No, it didn't. Well, they were atomic bombs and nuclear bombs, both. But there's been a lot of them. There's been the upper-level explosions in the atmosphere. And I've talked about that. But we have some basics that we will always have to deal with, and one of them is food. So I want to advocate getting some level of food together, and that is simply for you to understand, for you to seek out, because it's going to be different for everybody. We all have our different ideas, and you get your own list together. See what makes sense to you. I know there's a channel I like to watch sometimes. It's about the James Townsend channel. They talk about how food was prepared and how people lived in the really olden days. Might be 1700s, might be even be 1800s, might be 1500s, but it's a long time ago. Ha! And one of the things I found was funny was a pound cake. Guess what the original pound cake was? It was 1 pound of butter, 1 pound of sugar, 1 pound of flour, and 1 pound of eggs. That was the original pound cake. And then to that you added whatever spices you wanted to suit your own taste. Well, that was interesting, huh? But gardening is a good idea. Your own food storage is a good idea. In the 1943, it was 42% of our nation's vegetables came from victory gardens. And those were mostly home gardens. There were a few that were community gardens, but that was when our country was at war, and all the natural, all our materials went to the war effort, and it left our civilian population really poor and impoverished. That's the way it was, and that was a reason they home gardened. It was a good idea. They needed to do that. So we could be in that situation again. Home gardens are good, but you have a look at it. It's something that could happen again, and I've mentioned the things which could bring us into a war. It's all possible. It's all possible. Likely? No, I wouldn't say likely, but possible, yes. And so give all these things some thought. Examine what really could happen, and we don't know. We don't know. It's just a matter of you follow your own understanding and see what the situations could be. That's the best thing. You could do what I tell you to do, but somehow I don't think you would want to do that. You could do what your neighbor tells you or your boss tells you. No, we like to be free people. We like to do what we want to do. And that's the other reason for your list. So get to know your neighbors and remember that at some point we just might be depending on our neighbors for just help. We can help them. They can help you. And it's just the way I think God intended humanity to be. I want to thank you for listening. Oh, yes, and remember, you can always get my thought on preparedness. Write me at John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. It's free. Just if you could send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, that would be great. And you can listen to Christ Today again on www.christtoday.org. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And I want to thank you for listening today. Thank you very much. And may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Amen and thank you. Till next week.